when you started out on this endeavor, the trumpet was almost the orphan of the solo world, but you seem to have taken it to places it's never been before. Did you have a plan?
My plan was just to play music. I started playing the trumpet when I was 7, and what you say is true about, you know, we have less solo repertoire than perhaps the violin or the piano or many instruments, but we do have this incredible piece quite early, you know, the Haydn Trumpet Concerto, and it just shows you how extraordinarily subtle and unexpected the instrument can be if you really use your imagination. It's not a particularly technically complicated piece, but it really shows the full gamut of expression, really. And so I've played this piece many hundreds of times, but every time I hear something new, and I will never get bored of it. But I started the trumpet and immediately fell in love with it from a young age and realized it just had this beautiful sound. And I had some incredible heroes to look up to, you know, Maurice Andre, the great French trumpeter, Wynton Marsalis, of course, Clifford Brown, Dizzy Gillespie.
Who's from around here?
Yeah, that's right.
Down the road.
And although we all play the trumpet in very different ways, yeah, it's still just this sort of extension of who we are, and it just happens to be the vehicle that we use to express ourselves, and I just think it's the most amazing sound.
You're not from a musical family, so how did the trumpet come into your life at age 7?
Well, I was lucky to have musical instrument lessons at school, which were free, which doesn't happen in the UK anymore. And I also played in my local brass band. I played the cornet. So right from the outset, I played the cornet and the trumpet at the same time, which is actually quite unusual, because if you play the cornet in a brass band, it's almost tribal. You know, you're not really allowed to play the trumpet as well.
Or even talk to the trumpeters.
No, or talk to them or like it. But I managed to play that sort of diplomatic line from when I started. But the thing about playing the cornet in the band is that it's like playing the violin in the orchestra. You get all the tunes, and you're playing all the time, and you're playing in a section, so you're using your ears. So it's an amazing training. But the reason I became a soloist and always dreamt of being a soloist is because I wanted to play and play and play. And when you play in the orchestra, you don't have to be less good by any means. You have to be wonderful, perfect, and more, but you don't get to play as much. And so that was why it was always my dream to find repertoire that had integrity, that would capture the audience's imagination and gave me something to get my teeth into.
But besides the solo work, you're doing all kinds of other things. Do you ever say no to a project?
I do, actually. I'm in a very fortunate position where I can pick and choose work.
So tell me the things you're doing now and why you're doing them.
Of course, I'm playing with the Philadelphia Orchestra,
right,
which
clearly
is, obviously, you'd be mad not to do that if you get invited. And it's tremendously satisfying. The orchestra just, I mean, I've played with a lot of good orchestras around the world in my life, but there's something about the power of an orchestra of this calibre which is just breathtaking, and literally breathtaking for me. It really made, you know, it's quite hard to describe. I think it's something that people who love going to live concerts can understand, with this orchestra particularly. Next year I'm doing a tour with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Again, you know, it's hard to put into words what that feels like to be able to collaborate with musicians of that standard. And with such a legacy, a long history behind them, where they are their sound, you know. And then also other more sort of bonkers projects.
Those are the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah, I love bonkers projects, because although, you know, I'm on the back foot in terms of not having as many conventional concerto pieces in the repertoire, it does mean that people are actually more open-minded and don't sort of stereotype you quite so easily, because they don't know what's going to come next.
Well, tell us the bonkers projects, though.
Well, last year I did a big project at Shakespeare's Globe, which was called Gabriel, and I do fully intend to do more of that, because I was recording the music of Handel and Purcell on the period instrument, so the Baroque trumpet, which doesn't have valves, which means that to transcribe and arrange for this instrument and steal music from other instruments' repertoire is much harder than it is for, the piccolo trumpet, which is something I've done too. But I did, over sort of 10 months of just such hard perseverance, I made, you know, a repertoire which was also included a lot of original works, but also other things where the trumpet sort of overlapped into the voice world and the violin repertoire and this kind of thing. And then, because the music itself is so dramatic and the context that Purcell and Handel wrote in was very theatrical, I thought, well, we've got to do this in a theatre or in an unexpected venue. And that's how this huge project grew. And we ended up doing a whole summer of performances with a full company of actors and the English concert. And then that's really given me a taste for doing things that people really don't expect, because the instrument is such a wonderful one for crossing genres and crossing boundaries and crossing class divides, and young people, old people, people who think they don't like classical music, people who think they do like classical music but not the trumpet in it. You know, I love to try to break down those barriers.
And today you're not just playing with the Philadelphia Orchestra, you're also being conducted by the composer of your piece. Good or bad thing to have a real live living composer standing on the podium?
when they write the way that Bramwell Tovey writes is a really good thing, although it doesn't come without its pressures, because he knows this piece, obviously, inside out, and has a very strong opinion of how he wants it to go. He seems pretty happy so far, so hopefully I can keep him happy. But there's something wonderfully organic about playing a piece where the composer's still alive, because he's just making tiny tweaks here and there. And this will be the fourth time we've played it together tonight. And yeah, it's like a living beast.
And what's on the page is not necessarily what you're definitely going to play in any given performance?
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far.
How are the tweaks then?
There's just moments where it's a note here and a note there where we want to change something slightly. It's very well thought out, and he's a very good orchestrator. So the one thing that I think the trumpet really has on its side in terms of a solo instrument with a symphony orchestra is that, of course, it can be very powerful.
The dynamics.
Yeah, and it can be very, exactly, huge dynamics. So not just very loud, but also very quiet, and the mutes and the instrument changes. I'm also going to be playing on the flugelhorn. But every concert you do is completely different. Of course, the venues change, the audience changes. You know, we're playing this piece three times in one venue, but it will feel different every night. And also the first performance is different from that last performance. You know it's the last one, or you know it's the first one, so you don't quite know what's going to happen as much as you do on the third one. And it's always, always different, especially with a good piece. As I was saying with the Haydn, it's always different. There's always some new line that comes out. With a less good piece, you start to tire of it very quickly, and it just feels like you're repeating yourself for the sake of it. With this piece, I wouldn't feel like that, because there's so much in it, so much detail that really, really works. And the Philadelphia Orchestra has its own personality, and they can bring this piece alive like neither of the other two orchestras that I'm playing it with. It'll be another personality being able to show itself through, because that's what good classical music is able to do.
Well, we look forward to everything you do. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.